Well, now a bit of political analysis of those sobering numbers and the push to create more jobs, also the push for some more bipartisanship in Washington. I'm joined by our regular political commentator, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and sitting in for David Brooks today is Matt Continetti, associate editor of The Weekly Standard. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Hello.
E.J., let's start with you. The president's pitch for job creation, what do you think of his sales pitch right now?
Well, I think his sales pitch got a little bit of help today, even though this is a mixed report. I think it's an important psychological and thus political fact that unemployment finally fell into single digits. And the administration hopes that in a few months there will actually be real job growth and not the losses you saw today. And that could improve things a bit for the Democrats and for President Obama. I had an interview this week with Vice President Biden, who was trying to sell the stimulus package, and he made an interesting point. He said that when he pushed a crime bill with President Clinton in the 90s, it was very unpopular when it came out. No one really believed it was working until the crime rate started coming down, and then it became popular. And he is praying that the same thing will happen with Obama's economic plan once these economic numbers improve.
And that the results will vindicate the plan.
The plan, but it's still going to be a rough year.
Matt, what do you think of the job creation plan in the context also of the budget that President Obama proposed this past week?
Well, government often rushes to gets the job done right as things begin to change. So government can sometimes be a late adopter in this, but they pass this jobs bill in the coming weeks and the unemployment number continues to rise. It's both good for the country and it's good for politicians who can take credit, even if the actual evidence is slightly murkier. I think obviously this drop in unemployment is a good thing. When I look at this number, I'm reminded of our fourth quarter growth number that came out just recently,
5.7%
growth in the fourth quarter of 2009. And that, too, is a good number. But I do think there's beginning this sense of disconnect between these very impressive macroeconomic numbers and the day-to-day realities of most American workers and, important for the Democrats, most American voters.
A disconnect between the numbers coming out of Washington and what people are feeling in their actual lives, E.J.?
Well, I think it also depends very much on where in the country you live, that there are some states, notably Michigan, Nevada, Rhode Island, that have been hit very, very hard by this. And it's going to take them a long time to climb out of where they are now. But I do think that even people who are hurting can get a sense of hope if they have a general sense that the economy is improving, and their despair deepens if they look around. And as we had earlier this year, we were hemorrhaging 600,000 jobs a month.
What struck me about these numbers, too, is you're beginning to see the social ramifications of the Great Recession. For the first time in this report, there are more women on payrolls than there are men. And so you begin to see the job market shift toward women in the workplace rather than men. Christy Romer mentioned how temporary employment has gone up. And I think that, again, points to the economy to come, where people don't stay in one job very often, but they have a variety of jobs over the course of their career.
That's a very good point. And in fact, men have been hit really hard in this because of the damage done to construction and manufacturing.
Now, there have recently been familiar pious appeals to bipartisanship in Washington. Why can't we all just get along better? After all those appeals, we then heard that Senator Richard Shelby, Republican, but he's had a bipartisan career himself, he used to be a Democrat from Alabama, put a blanket hold on every nomination that the Obama administration has put forward. Also, he's ranking member on the Senate Banking Committee. He and Christopher Dodd could not agree on banking regulations, so that the Dodd bill is dead. Honestly, is there any prospect right now of any bipartisan cooperation? And Matthew, what do you make of what Senator Shelby's done?
Oh, well, I think a lot of conservatives, I'm also outraged at what he's done. Listen, I've been against the hold ever since Democrats and the Republican Lincoln Chafee, who's no longer in the Senate, used it to deny John Bolton reappointment as ambassador to the United Nations back in 2006. So I think that's a Senate rule that's in need of drastic reform. On the broader issue of bipartisanship, it's always easier said than done. And it's not only the Republicans who are returning to their old ways rather quickly after that wonderful meeting between Obama and the Republicans in Baltimore last week. You know, Obama said at that meeting, yes, you have ideas. I want to talk about your Republican ideas. Well, Paul Ryan, the Republican of Wisconsin and the ranking member on the House Budget and Ways and Means Committee, put forward really a vision of America's future that the CBO has said will erase
the debt.
Yeah, the Congressional Budget Office has said will erase the public debt. And the Democrats, all in a, like ducks in a row, have turned around and just savaged it.
What do you think, EJ?
Well, if Democrats are grateful to Paul Ryan because he's showing that in order to do that, you've got to privatize Medicare, you've got to privatize Social Security. Let's have a debate on Paul Ryan. He is honest, and I will give him that. The hold is outrageous. It's been abused for a long time by both parties, but this was a particularly extreme and outrageous use of it by Senator Shelby.
It's just by the hold is in. Any individual senator can say, I'm putting a hold on that nomination.
For any or no reason.
And you have to get 60 votes to remove that.
Right, and usually holds have nothing, at least in Bolton's case, it actually had to do with people opposing Bolton in many cases. In this case, Shelby's putting a hold on all of these over 70 nominations for a couple of pieces of pork for Alabama. And so you have that other contradiction here where Republicans say they want to, they think we have terrible deficit spending, but give me my pork. I hope this leads to a kind of showdown over some of these Senate rules, because the Senate is becoming dysfunctional.
Something that at least we've achieved bipartisan agreement on here. E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and Matthew Continetti of the Weekly Standard. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.